Amen. Thanks, Tim. Good morning to you all. I hope you're well. I hope you've enjoyed the first part of our service this morning. It's great to have worship songs that, you know, as Paul says, you know, talks about God's love and God's holiness and His majesty. So it's really good. And I just pray and hope that you've been able to kind of connect and just worship God this morning, and also the communion as well. It's just good to remind ourselves of what Jesus did for us and His great grace and love. So in the last few weeks, we've been exploring limitless living, and we've gone through a few topics on that series. You know, Matt brought joy to us and kind of, you know, expanded on that. Faith from Dave and Tim. Wisdom from Ben and Grace, and from Mike and Stephen, which was good. So I just want to just encourage you, you know, if this is your first time of connecting with us, you know, just to have a look on our YouTube page or our website and catch up on that. My prayer this morning is that, you know, God would speak through me, that would really kind of understand the limitless love of God. I'm going to use quite a few scriptures this morning. So my style of preaching is very Bible study focused, you know, so I like to kind of use scriptures to explain scriptures. So I hope you don't mind that. And I just pray that God's Spirit will still bring out His word to you. So I just want to encourage you, you know, if you have your Bibles, please have it with you. If you have pen and paper, please also have that ready with you. Just take notes, because, God speaks through us through amazing ways. You know, I don't know what you might be going through, but I believe that God's got a word for you this morning. You know, so if something really touches your heart, you know, if you hear a word from God this morning, I think it'd be good to just make a note of it, and then in your own time, just take time and explore that even more. Before I start, I'm just going to pray. Father Lord, I just thank you for those that have joined us online today, especially those that are perhaps joining us for the first time. Lord, I just want to just pray the prayer that Paul prayed to the Ephesians, in Ephesians 1. Lord, that you'd give us all, Lord, the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we might know you, God. I pray, Lord, that the eyes of our understanding will be enlightened. Lord God, we thank you for the subject of love, Lord God. Without an understanding of your love for us, just life is meaningless, oh God. And so we pray for your spirit to just come and just open our hearts. Speak through me. Pray for your grace to be able to just declare your word, as Tim prayed, with boldness. And let your name be glorified. Father, we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. This is not going to be a long preach, I say. But let's see. But I just want to encourage you. If God's asking us a direct question today, and He's saying to you, He's saying to me, do you know that you're loved? Now, honestly, I just want us to just kind of just take time and just think about that. Do you know that you're loved? Regardless of the negative happenings in life, in your life, in my life, regardless of the negative words that has been spoken over us by people who are supposedly meant to love us and be there for us. You know, maybe you've felt some injustice in the past. Maybe you've been let down, abused, or had a traumatic upbringing. You know, these are serious issues. You might even feel that God has let you down. Maybe you've been a Christian for a while, 5, 10, 20, 40 years. You know the walk, you talk the talk. You know, but you've let the lies of the devil through different sources and through different people, just kind of steal that God's perspective of God's love for you. God is asking you today, do you really know that you're loved? So I wonder if, just before we just go into it, if you can just pause for a second, just maybe just close your eyes and just focus on yourself, just that inner self, and just forget everything that's happened in the past, everything that might be happening now, and just ask yourself that question. Do I know that I'm loved? How much God is saying to you today? How much do you know that I love you? Our answer to those, you can open your eyes now. Our answer to those questions dictates our perspective of life, the stresses and anxiety we go through. You know, if the answer to that question is, well, I don't really know, or I know, but I'm not sure. I don't actually know how much God loves me. You know, I've been, I've had so many things done to me. I've had so many things said to me. I've been through different situations and different scenarios that I'm not actually sure that if through that God loves me. Maybe you feel this morning that God's let you down. You know, you might have been part of a church before. You know, maybe you've left that church for reasons. You know, whatever the situation. I just want us to, by the end of this, just be able to answer that question and know that indeed God truly does love you and love me. What does love mean to you? I had a look online at some interesting quotes from three individuals, which I'm going to read out. I thought they were quite funny, actually, but quite good. So one person said, Miss L said, love means knowing that no matter what, you have someone to count on. It's unconditional and makes you feel good on the inside. You can trust the person you love and are comfortable around them. It's like your heart tells you that it's good for you. I like this, what this lady says. It says, love never hurts or makes you cry your eyes out. It's very gentle and warm. You never give up on people you love. Do you agree? Would that be a true definition of love? Could be. Second, this next person says that love is caring for someone else deeply and unconditionally. Love is being motivated to be the best version of yourself that you can possibly be because you are so passionate about the other person. And then this final one says, to me, love means finding someone that brings out the best version of yourself and challenges you to be better. Someone who you are completely comfortable with and who knows you inside out. Someone who is truly your partner and best friend and that you can share all your experiences with. You know, the problem with love is, you know, we all have different definition of love. You know, but this morning, what I want to bring out is not what I think love is, or what you think love is, but what is love from God's perspective? So the first slide is going to come up. So what I plan to do today in this brief preach is to first of all go through what love is from a biblical perspective. And then secondly, God's love, and look at one of many of Jesus's example of his expression of that love to us. And then finally, our response. You know, it's one thing knowing that we're loved, but, you know, what should our response be to that love? So that's what we are going to do today. So first of all, the first one is, what is love? What's God's definition of love? 1 John 4, 8 to 11 tells us. It says, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. We're just going to leave that scripture up there for a second. You know, God is love. Everything that is love is God. It says, in this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. So love expressed through Jesus Christ, love manifested through the Son of God, that we might live through him, that we might have everlasting life. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be propitiation, atonement for our sins. That's a tricky word, that one. Beloved, if God so loved, we also ought to love one another. So here it tells us that God is love. That if we want to know what love is, we need to look at God. We need to look at what God did in response to love. Limitless love is God given. God gave his Son to die for us. And, you know, we know that. We celebrate Easter. We celebrate Christmas. You know, but do we truly know what that means for God to love us? John 3:16, next slide, says that for God so loved. Here's that limitless love there in that scripture. You know, this is one scripture that we know. You know, a lot of us can quote it from our hearts, from our sleep. It says, for God so loved, that limitless love, the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through the world he might be saved. So I just want to, just those two scriptures there just points us to the fact that God is love. And in God being love, he's the manifestation of that limitless love is the provision of Jesus Christ to come and die for us, to come and give his life so that we might live. As well as that, God, who is love, also gives us his spirit and reminds us, you know, the Bible, you know, tells us that the Spirit of God kind of reminds us that we are children of God, that we are loved of God, reminds us of God's goodness, reminds us of his love for us. So the second point there is looking at one way God has expressed that love to us through Jesus Christ. So we're going to look at the story of the miracle of Jesus feeding the 4,000. I think from that story, I think it'd be good for us to see three characteristics of God's limitless love and how we can maybe apply that in our own situation. So I'm going to read from Matthew 15, 32 to 39. I'm reading from the New King James Version if you want to follow, but just follow from your whatever version you've got. And it will come up on the screen as well. It says, "Now Jesus called his disciples to himself and said, 'I have compassion on the multitude because they have now continued with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I do not want to send them away hungry, lest they faint on the way.' Then his disciples said to him, 'Where could we get enough bread in the wilderness to fill such a great multitude?' And Jesus said to them, 'How many loaves do you have?' And they said, 7 and a few little fish. So he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and the fish and gave thanks, broke them and gave them to his disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitudes. So they all ate and were filled, and they took up 7 large baskets full of fragments that were left. Now those who ate were 4,000 men, besides women and children. And he sent away the multitudes, got into the boat, and came to the region of Magdala." Let's look at 3 aspects from that story that captures or talks about the love of God for us. First, God's love from a place of limitless compassion. God cares for you. You know, if there's anything that I want you to take away from this preach this morning, or whatever time of the day you're listening to it from, is that God cares for you. You know, his compassion drives him to act towards us. God so loved that he gave. God so cares that he provided. God so loves that he sends people our way. You know, in these times that we're in, difficult times of COVID, you know, life can be difficult. You know, we're all going through, or we know people that are going through a difficult time and challenges. Could be mental health related. It could be work situations where people are not in work or furloughed. It could be people that are suffering from COVID or recovering from COVID. You know, whatever the situation, I just want you to know this morning that God cares. I'm not saying that because it sounds nice. This is God's word. You know, he wants you to know that he cares. He wants to go through those situations with you. He wants to provide. He wants to give you his wisdom. Jesus Christ is our high priest. Hebrews 4:15 says he's able to understand our weaknesses, what we're going through, our challenges, our pain, our trouble. You know, he lived on the earth. He was tempted in every way like we are. So I just want you to just understand that Jesus does care for you. Matthew 15, 32 that we read earlier, it says, Jesus says, "I have compassion on the multitude." And that's Jesus's heart today. You know, saying, "I have compassion on the multitude. I have compassion for you. I have compassion for the situation that you're going through. I see, I understand the pain, the challenges, the difficult times, and I have compassion." He's saying that to you this morning. Would you receive his love? Would you receive that fresh word over yourself this morning? Jesus is saying, "I have compassion on the multitude because they've now continued with me." Jesus was there. He was teaching them. He was building them up spiritually. But he was concerned about the fact that they hadn't eaten for 3 days. And he had to do something about it. I do not want to send them away hungry, lest they faint in the way. God cares about your welfare. He cares about your health. He cares about everything to do with you. In our helpless state, God has compassion and wants to reach out to meet the needs, our needs, according to his will and his purposes. I just want you to be encouraged with that. His way is not our way. You know, Jesus asked his disciples, what do you have? And he multiplied and did that marvelous miracle to provide. One of the charities that my wife and I support is Compassion, and we support them for what I believe is the heart of Jesus Christ that they express towards what they do. From their website, Compassion Charity, in their Who We Are section, states something like this, and I just want to read it out because I think there's something in that that I think captures the heart of God, the heart of Jesus towards us. Compassion is a leading Christian children's charity. At our heart is a relentless passion to act on our compassion. I like that. Relentless passion to act on our compassion and empower every child left vulnerable by poverty. Our approach to fighting poverty is focused and personal. Since 1952, we've been giving children the opportunity to escape the suffering and fear poverty brings through our one-to-one child sponsorship model. We're with you in believing every child matters and deserves to be safe, fed, educated, and empowered. Relentless passion to act on our compassion. That's their motto. And I believe that's the heart of Jesus when he fed them spiritually, but he didn't want to send them away hungry lest they faint. Relentless passion to act on our compassion. And I just wonder, church, I just wonder, saints, whether we can embrace that in our expression of love towards each other. You know, just doing things not because it's the right thing to do, doing things not because someone's looking, doing things not because we've been asked to, but that kind of relentless passion to act from a place of compassion. You know, we should be doing that. I'm challenged, you know, that challenged me when I read that, you know, and I just pray that through God's Spirit that you'll just be able to hear that. You know, let what we do come from a place of compassion for one another. The second point from that story, that miracle, was there's always something to offer from what you have. In verse 33 and 34, Jesus' disciples said to him, where can we get enough bread in the wilderness to fill such a great multitude? And Jesus said to them, how many loaves do you have? And they said, seven and a few little fish. And that's a challenge to us. You know, we don't have to wait till we have enough, we have an overflow. You know, Jesus is looking to do a miracle with what you have. So, church, what do you have this morning that you can give to our Lord to use to be a blessing to someone else? Could it be your time? You know, because of the COVID situation where, you know, people are working from home, some of us do have more time. You know, we can maybe use that time to from a place of compassion, to pray for others, you know, to get involved and, you know, give people a call to go for walks with people, to meet the needs of people around you. So many different ways that you can do that. You know, we have our Bags of Food initiative here that you can be involved in. Or it could just be something as little as a telephone conversation with someone or a walk with someone. You know, what we have in the hands of Jesus can go a long way. So what do you have? Jesus said to his disciples, what do you have? How little it is. Give that you have to me, and I can do something with it. The third point is limitless generosity. Jesus gives generously, and he still gives abundantly. I'm encouraged by the story, the quote that Jesus made in John 10:10, that the enemy comes to steal, to kill and to destroy. He comes to, you know, to steal our joy. He comes to steal our perspective of love. He comes to take away what rightfully belongs to us. But it says, but Jesus comes into the scene and Jesus gives life and gives life more abundantly. You know, we know the scripture so well, but for me, what brings life? You know, Jesus says, the words I speak to you are spirit and life. You know, what brings life to some of this is when the spirit takes it and makes it real to our hearts. It doesn't matter the enemy's plan. It doesn't matter what the enemy has stolen. You know, that Jesus has come to give life and give life more abundantly. Verse 38 and 36 to 38 of Matthew 15. It says, and Jesus took the 7 loaves and fish and gave thanks and broke and gave them to his disciples. And then here comes the miracle, verse 37. And said, all ate and were filled. All 4,000 of them, they all ate. And then there were leftovers, 7 large baskets full of fragments that were left. So I just want to encourage you this morning. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter what you're going through. You know, with Jesus, Jesus can provide. Jesus can send people your way. Jesus can multiply the little that you have. And also for us, you know, we can trust God with what we have, the little that we have, our time, you know, our finances, our abilities, our gifts. You know, we can use that. We can give that to Jesus and he can multiply that. And then the final point I want us to explore is our response. We sang about God's love this morning. You know, we had communion together. I've shared a bit about God's love. You know, scriptures that, you know, if you have been a Christian for a while, you know, you're very familiar with. But what should our response be to God's love? Yes, Lord God, I know that you love me. I know that you sent your son to die for me. You know, but what should my response be? First of all, before we can respond the way God wants us to respond, we have to know who we are. We have to have a confident and a bold sense of identity that you are loved. Why do I say that? You know, the media, the news tell us all sorts. You know, they tell us, they try and define who we are, who we should be. This is the latest model, this is the latest trend. Should I wear a jacket? Should I not wear a jacket? You know, what's the right size? What's the right, you know, all there's different things in class, you know. So the media tries to tell us things that from their worldly perspective seems to be right. But from scripture, we need to kind of truly understand and have a confident sense of identity of who we are. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are a chosen generation. Do you truly believe that? You're a royal priesthood. Do you truly believe that? You're a holy nation. Do you truly accept that? You're God's own special people. Why? That you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I just send shivers around just all through me. That God has called me out of darkness into his marvelous light. And because of that, I'm part of a chosen generation. I'm a royal priesthood. I'm a holy nation. Knowing who you are changes your perspective in life. Because you know who you are, it's difficult for people to say things that will get to the core of your soul. That it's difficult for people to say things and do things that would affect and ruin your day because you know who you are. That's why we're encouraged to read our Bibles. That's why we're encouraged to spend time in God's Word. Remind ourselves of scriptures like that. You know, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy people. David encourages us again in Psalm 139. Sometimes people go through life just with all different perceptions and maybe situations at home with family and, you know, and they do wonder why God created them, maybe say the way they are and stuff. But Psalm 139 says, you formed me in my inward parts. God's our creator. God's your creator. He didn't make a mistake, you know, when he created us. It says, you covered me in my mother's womb. God protected us. So I just want us to just believe that this morning with boldness and just declare that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. That's who I am. I have my own identity. No one can be Carnie, no one could be Simon, no one could be Tim or Matt or Jimmy. You have your own identity. God formed you in his inward, God formed you our inward parts. And then I like what David says. He says, my soul knows very well. It's okay for sometimes we might have a head knowledge, an intellectual knowledge about God's love for us, you know, how he created us. But deep down in our souls, do we really know that? Do we really believe that? Do we really accept that we're loved, that we're fearfully and wonderfully made? My soul knows very well. So that should be our confidence as children of God. Our response as believers is to worship God, is to thank him. Just that song that we sang this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the cross. Thank you for what you've done. Oftentimes what I do in worship is just when no one's watching, when I don't have to perform or do anything to, you know, just come into God's presence. It's just like, Lord, thank you for the cross. Thank you that you died for me. You know, there's just something powerful about that. The other thing that God expects us to do in with regards to our response is to love God with everything. Love God with all of your heart. We know that. Love God with all of your mind, your soul, and your strength. Mark 12:28-31, I think it'll probably come up on the screen. Then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceived that he had answered them well, and asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered, you know, if there's anything that you should prioritize doing, if there's anything that you should ask for my spirit to help you do, this is it. First of all, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart. You know, the God that gave us his son, Jesus Christ, he wants us to love back. Love the Lord with all of your heart. Love him with all of your soul. Love him with all of your mind, with all of your strength. That's the first commandment, but there's a second commandment as well. And the second like this is this, that you shall love your neighbor as yourself, just like I shared earlier about compassion, you know, passionate, you know, loving from a place, having compassion from a place of, you know, passion. There's no other commandment greater than these. And how do we do that? Just by keeping the commandments, just by doing the things that Jesus has asked us to do. The commandment to love one another, the commandment to give back from a place of love, from a place of compassion. John 13:34 says, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. So as we've received the love of God today, as we're reminded of the love of God today, as we're reminded of the compassion of Jesus, as we're reminded that he cares for us, you know, God is calling us to respond by loving one another. Displaying the love of God through the characteristics of love, the fruits of the Spirit. Let us be people who display God's attributes. I wouldn't go into it, but the slide that I have there, 1 Corinthians 13, talks about love and the different attributes about love. You know, we wouldn't go into it, but it just talks about love not being envious, being kind, being patient towards one another. It does not behave rudely. It's not proud. It does not seek its own. It's not provoked. You know, these are ways that we can express our love towards each other. So that's for us that are believers. And I'm just going to end with, you know, those that might be watching us for watching this for the first time. You don't have a relationship with Christ, or you're in a place where, you know, you have heard the gospel, but you're just not sure, you're not committed. The greatest thing that I can offer, the greatest thing that God can offer is his love to you. But we still have to receive that. For God so loved the world that he gave his son. He gave his son for you. He gave his son for me. And he's His desire, his passion is that you receive that today. That you ask God to forgive you and that you give your life to him. Romans 5:8 says, for when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Christ died for you. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for you. It's the greatest thing that anyone can do is to die and to give his life for us. So can I encourage you to respond to his love today? You know, if you haven't, Bible encourages us to believe, to repent, to confess, to be baptized, and to live for Jesus. Luke 5:31 says, and Jesus answered and said to him, those who are well have no need of a physician or a doctor, but those who are sick. He said, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So that's what Jesus has come. You know, for God so loved, he gave his son so that he could save the world, so that we can live through him. So that in 100 years, 200, 500 years, a million years from now, we'll be enjoying his glorious joy and peace and love and faithfulness. Not because of anything we have done, but because of what he's done. And the Bible encourages us in Romans 10. It says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So I just want to encourage you. I just want to plead with you today. If you haven't made that decision, believe today. You know, have that confession. Receive that love that he's poured out through his son, Jesus Christ. And if you've made that decision, or maybe you need time to think through it, you know, I just want to encourage you, make a note of those scriptures, maybe speak to someone if you need to, maybe speak to a friend, or if you want to give us a call, you know, do give us a call, and if you want to, you know, talk things through, you know, do call us, because I think it'll be good to explore what that means, the love of God, you know, and talk through things. But if you would like to make that decision today, I just want to just ask you if we can pray together. Father Lord, we thank you that you have been able to speak to us this morning, Lord God, about your love. For those of us that have known and received your love, you've encouraged us, Lord God, that there is a response that we ought to make because we know that you love us, Lord God. For those of us that know you, Lord God, we thank you, Father, that it's good to be reminded of how much you love us, O Lord. But for those that are listening right now, watching right now, that haven't made that commitment but want to receive that generous love, that limitless love, Lord, we just pray right now with them that they will be able to make that confession, that they will be able to believe, that they'll be able to turn away from their sins and just receive you afresh, O God. Father, we pray for that journey. We pray that you just help them to come to a place of just realization of your love, Lord. We thank you and we praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you've made that decision, I just want to just encourage you, get connected. If you're local, please feel free to connect with us, you know, and talk things through. But if you're not local, please find a Bible-believing church, Bible-believing and doing church, and get connected, and just, you know, grow your faith. You know, the greatest thing I've discovered is the joy of salvation, and the joy of getting to know God more and more. So I just want to just thank you for listening this morning, and just to summarize what we've looked at in the last half an hour is. We've explored what love is, that God is love. We've looked at an example. There's so many examples in Scripture of God expressing that love to us, not just in spiritual things, but in physical provision. You know, God cares for you. He cares for your needs. He cares for what he cares for the things that we're going through now. And then we've looked at our response, what our response should be to God's love for us. So I just want to ask you that question again. Do you know that you're loved? Do you know how much God loves you? The last scripture I want to leave with us is from the last book of the Bible. One of the last things Jesus said after he's given himself as a love offering and gone back to be with the Father in heaven. Revelation 1:4-6. Do you know that you're loved? Do you know how much God loves you? John to the seven churches which are in Asia. Grace to you and peace from him who is, and who was, and who is to come. And from the seven spirits who are before his throne. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Do we believe that this morning, church? This is the foundation of what we preach. This is the foundation of what we believe. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And not just that, it said verse 6, it says, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. And to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. We can rejoice in that truth and glorify God for his limitless love. I just encourage you to continue to remain in his love, not by our power, not by our might, but through his Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll now hand back to Tim to conclude the service.